Spotlights sweep the sky and illuminate the 20th century Fox edifice, set against a dark blue background. Valverde, Texas, 1867. Along the dusty main street, horses are tethered. Chickens scratch for food. A farmer and his son in wide-brim hats lead a goat, and two horsemen ride into town, watched by the deputy sheriff. A
couple of saddle tramps just rode in. Looks like they're stopping at the Lost Lug.
They tie up their horses as two more riders arrive further down the street and walk into the saloon bar. Elsewhere, yet two more strangers appear on horseback as the two who visited the saloon re-emerge. Meanwhile, the first arrivals stroll over to the first bank of Valverde. Three of the strangers enter the bank. One queues as the others hang back.
Yes, sir, I know.
You people are thieves, did you know that? I've been paying interest so long, I plumb forgot what the capital is.
Sir, nobody forced you to come in here.
Force? Did you hear that? Force? Me with a wife and a mule, two leghorn roosters looking for a hen and six young'uns to feed, and all this fool can say is force? What's more, it'll be a cold hand.
Never mind the hard stuff. We'll just take the paper.
Mark, give me your gun.
This is force, mister.
Guns drawn, they threaten staff and customers as the teller fills a bag with money. Outside, two men keep watch, as a third remains on horseback, having gathered the other riderless mounts. Rancher, Nathan Stoner, reins in the horses pulling his rig. Then he helps his wife down. They walk into the bank, where Nathan sees what's happening. He shouts a challenge as he draws his gun, but is shot down by one of the outlaws holding back. The first robber shoots a clerk, who pulls a gun, and the man with the horses rides to the bank entrance, followed by the sheriff who shoots him. Locals appear from the hardware store with rifles as the deputy shoots one of the lookouts.
Pick it up. Don't let me stop you.
The sheriff disarms the second lookout. Then faces down the other three emerging from the bank.
Don't look too good, does it, Bishop? Roscoe, go open up the cells. Court, you and Hawkins help me cover him. If one of them so much as spits, blow his head off.
I need a doctor.
You ain't hurt. Move!
They shot Nathan Stoner. Killed one of my clerks. Get your hands up!
They're led to the jail.
John, get Doc Curtis over here right away.
Maria Stoner tries to comfort her husband whilst the outlaws are put in cells.
Bishop, you and one other in that first cell on the right.
In there, old man.
Paul!
I figured you'd hit me a turn one of these days, Bishop. When they write about you and the penny dreadfuls, they're going to call Valverde your end of the line.
Well, I've never yet seen anything so bad that a little money or a little talk can't settle.
Well, you can talk till you're blue in the face if you have a mind to. I'm a different kind of sheriff than you've been used to.
What's that supposed to mean?
Means you can't beg, borrow, steal, buy, break, or pray your way out of my jail.
July. Nathan Stoner just died.
D. Bishop's eyes drop.
Roscoe, you men search him and take their gun belts.
All right, let me have him.
Nathan Stoner is carried out of the bank by four men as his wife follows, and the sheriff doffs his hat in condolence. B-Sky B and 20th Century Fox present James Stewart, Dean Martin, Raquel Welch and George Kennedy in Bandolero. Co-starring Andrew Prine, Will Greer and Clint Ritchie. Audio description by Derek Miller. A lone rider crosses a plain of sand and sparse scrub vegetation. Bare flat-top mountains tower in the background against a clear blue sky. Rider and horse navigate thicker vegetation as they drop down to a shallow river. The horse drinks its fill before they carry on across. They continue their journey following the watercourse. As dusk falls, they descend a hillside. It's dark as they finally arrive in the lively town of San Antonio. A fiddle plays, cowboys brawl in the street. Cavalrymen are identifiable by their uniform, and people are out on the town. They negotiate the rutted street and stop at the local hotel. The rider tethers his horse as the high-pitched screams of a brightly dressed bar girl ring out as she is carried from the bar over the shoulder of a cowboy. It's packed inside and a blonde girl welcomes him, but is dragged back down onto another man's knee. He continues to the bar and spots a list of what the hotel offers and the tariffs.
Give me a rosebud, will you?
Have you heard about any jobs to be had around San Antonio?
No, and 100 others have asked me the same thing since sundown.
Who do I see about getting a cart for tonight?
Me, if you got 50 cents.
50, the sign over there says 25 cents for a cart.
That's when things are slow. 50 cents, take what you can find.
It's kind of steep.
No laughing, no talking, no singing, no drinking, and no snoring, and no spitting. Right through that door and don't step on anyone.
I want to bet down the horse. Is there a livery handy?
Cross the street. He charges 60 cents.
Well, that seems fair enough.
In the hotel dormitory, sleeping bodies are strewn everywhere. On the floor, in hammocks, on bunk beds. Anywhere there's a space. He picks his way across the room, and as he searches for a spot, a drunk falls from a top bunk. He hits the floor, settles, and carries on sleeping. He takes his chance and climbs the ladder onto the bunk. Next morning, it's bath time in the hotel's backyard. He sits in a large tub.
Seems to me like you could stand a good scrubbing yourself.
Water washes away a man's protection, lets mirrors into his body, and I'm too damn old to take chances.
Well, what you're saying is the truth. You must be the best protected man in town.
Well, I ain't sick, never been sick, and don't tend to be sick. Next! Now, if you're gonna shave, I'll fill a pan. But if you ain't, I won't.
Fill a pan.
In the barber's chair, a man talks loudly.
They tell me that you're a hangman.
They told you right, friend. Left Oklahoma City 3 weeks ago and headed for Val Verde, Texas. This is going to be one of the biggest jobs I've had in years. The Bishop Gang. The judge that tried them found them guilty of sin. Sentenced them to hang high as a Georgia pine. Good riddance for the state of Texas, too, when that bunch is out of the way.
How many did the catch?
Yeah, killed one, caught five. Ex-Quantrell man, mostly, leastways Bishop is. Be the first Texans I ever hung. I plan to enjoy it.
Hank, bring my clothes over here, will you?
Ain't you gonna shave?
No.
He watches the hangman, who checks himself in the barber's mirror keenly.
What in the world? Can't make up your mind. Oh, can't stand. I gotta keep this place thick as band all the time. You gotta come in and make up your mind, or I can't get them.
The hangman continues his journey to Val Verde, dressed in a black suit, high black hat, white shirt, black bow tie, and pink buttonhole flower. He guides his horse along a riverside track. Long coiled ropes hang either side of his saddle, and he sings a hymn as he rides, unaware that he is being watched from the ridge above. It's the man from the tub. He comes down from the ridge, mounts his horse, and tracks the hangman, who has now stopped and lit a fire. The hangman looks up as he hears the rider approaching.
Get down to set a spell, friend. Got more fish here if you're hungry.
Mighty generous of you.
I'm a generous man. Believe in it. Make yourself to home. Coffee there, sweet biscuits there.
Hey, got all the comforts.
Yes, sir, friend. I enjoy life. My soul's on fire with the spirit of it, if you know what I mean.
That's fine. Well, it looks to me like you must be a rope drummer.
Oh.
No, just the tools of my profession. I'm a hangman.
A hangman? Well, I'll declare.
On my way to hang the Bishop Gang down Val Verde.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Well, they finally got that bunch, huh? Caught, jailed, tried, and gonna hang.
Well, I sure am happy to come across you, Mr.
Grimes. Ossie Grimes of the Oklahoma Grimes.
Mr. Grimes, yes, sir. Yeah, I'm... Sure am happy I have run across you. You know, I've always been sort of curious about your job.
Well, there's a lot more to it than most folks think. There's nothing worse than a sloppy hanging. Well, back in Oklahoma, I once watched him hang a fella five times before it took.
Five times? Five? Well, now, just exactly what do you have to know, Mr. Grimes, in order to make a good, clean, professional job of it?
Well, just about everything. Have to know how tall your subject is, how much he weighs, his neck size, and how he feels about it all. Then you have to be certain.
Well, excuse me. You mean to say that you have to know how the fella you're going to hang feels about it?
Oh, yes, sir. A scared man who's crying and praying and shaking and moving all around is a lot harder to send to his maker than one who's decided to just stand there and take it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had a subject last year. Took me the most part of an hour just to get him up off his knees.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact. Now, you can't hang a subject when he's on his knees. It just don't look right. And I'll tell you one more thing. When you select a rope...
The gallows are being erected in Val Verde as one of the prisoners watches from a cell window.
What are you looking at?
You tell me. Hey, Robbie.
What?
I got a young boy here who's worried about his future.
Eh? I reckon he is of that, too. You know, I hope to God that they don't dump himself and myself in the same hole, for I have enough explaining to do up there without having him along.
Fine pair of lookouts, you and your pop.
Huh?
Let me tell you something, Bishop. I've been on the wrong side of the fence in the law for over 40 years, and I ain't never been in jail long enough to soften up a chaw of tobacco. I ride out with you, and here I am, watching them build my own gallows.
Well, everybody else has had their say. How about you?
Don't look too good, does it?
Riding into town past the whitewashed church, dressed in the hangman's clothes and leading his horse, is the Lone Rider. Nathan Stoner's widow, the sheriff and his deputy watch him as people gather in the street.
Ozzy Grimes' name, Sheriff. Down from Oklahoma to prove once more that the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons. And that's true in Texas, just like any place else. The Southwest would be a better place to live once our work's finished.
Well, I'm July Johnson, Mr. Grimes. I'm the one that sent for you.
Uh-huh.
This here's my deputy, Roscoe Bookbinder.
Glad to know you, son.
Howdy.
Known him all his life. Born in a hogan north of El Paso.
Uh-huh.
Fine boy.
Fine, fine. Well, first off, Sheriff, I'd like to see the subjects, if you don't mind.
The what?
What? The subjects.
You talking about the prisoners?
In my profession, they're subjects.
In my jail, they're nothing. Follow me. Here they are, Mr. Grimes, all ready for you.
D. Bishop looks up as they enter and stares in astonishment at the hangman, who averts his eyes.
Let's see now. I wonder if you fellas would move forward a little, near to the bars. Would you just come forward here?
All right, do what the man says.
Sheriff, seems like to me you've got four good necks here that ought to snap pretty good. I'm just not quite sure about this one. How much do you weigh, son?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, maybe it'd be all right. I always like to do a nice, clean job of it, Sheriff. Usually when I have a lightweight like this, I just strap 50-pound bag of sand on him, get some weight on him, and then that old neck. Just like that. How do you feel about it all, son?
You're crazy.
Now, you're not going to be praying and crying and all that stuff. It'll just hold up the procedure. Won't make it any easier for me or you.
This one, Bishop, Sheriff?
Yeah, that's him.
You rode with Quantrell, did you?
All the way.
Not Lawrence, Kansas. You were in on that?
I was there.
You must have made your mother mighty proud.
The pointed question shuts Bishop up.
Hangman, I never harmed a woman or a child.
We're planning on high noon tomorrow, if that suits you, Mr. Grimes.
That'll be fine. You know, Sheriff, when a man in my profession gets a chance to work with equipment like that, it just makes him proud.
Uh-huh.
You're expecting a big crowd, I imagine.
Well, it's a free country. Folks want to watch you hanging, they're going to write too.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I'd like to advise you about two things, Sheriff. I found out from bitter experience that when folks come into town for a hanging, all guns should be confiscated until after the proceedings, and all saloons should be closed.
Well, let's see what I can do.
Do it. These men deserve to hang, but they don't deserve to hang cold sober while a bunch of drunks stand around watching them.
He crosses the street to the Hotel Valverde.
That man sure loves his work.
I'll bed your horses down, Mr. Grimes.
Fine. These ropes stay with me.
Widow Stoner exits the hotel.
Her name's Maria Stoner, hangman. One of the men you're gonna send away tomorrow killed her husband.
Have that sorrel ready for me in the morning.
He enters the hotel.
And this is the last one, Mrs. Stoner.
Well, the unfortunate demise of your husband has left you quite a sizable estate.
What do you mean, Signore, is that the death of my husband has made me the wealthiest woman in this county?
Well, it's quite a jump for a little girl from top of the border.
I have to be going.
Miss Stoner, it might be wise if we discussed the disposition of your ranch.
Disposition?
Yes. Several weeks ago, I had a discussion with Nathan about a possible sale. I made him an offer. He seemed quite agreeable.
The ranch is not for sale.
But surely you don't expect to live out there.
I intend to keep it.
But you don't intend to run it. No woman in her right mind would attempt to operate a 150,000-acre spread.
Whether or not I succeed in operating it, Mr. Carter, is not your concern. I can take care of myself.
I think you overestimate your ability, Miss Stoner.
Perhaps I do. Good day, Mr. Carter.
She pauses and turns.
Mr. Carter, I was a whore at 13, and my family of 12 never went hungry.
When you figure we'll make our play, D?
Not tonight.
If we don't do something tonight, we're going to hang tomorrow.
You got any ideas?
No, but you should.
Well, I do, old man, so shut up.
Hey, lady, tell me, what miracle are you going to perform when the sun comes up, huh?
All right, step up and get it. Same damn chili and beans.
Here, beef steak.
Beef steak, my ass.
Hell, pork chops up 15 cents a pound. Man's talking about he wants beef steak.
Maria Stoner, now dressed in a long white silk dressing gown, walks out onto the hotel balcony and stares at the gallows. From across the street, she's watched by the sheriff, who starts to cross the street, but stops when he sees her startled by the bogus hangman.
Nice night, Miss Stoner. Oh, I'm sorry.
How do you know my name?
Well, I somehow get the idea just about everybody around here knows your name. I'm very pleased to meet you. I apologize for the intrusion. I'm being a little forward now.
Oh, please, don't go. You are the hangman, aren't you?
Hear them in there? I'm getting all liquored up for the big day tomorrow. Celebration over the death of fellow human beings.
That is a strange thought for a hangman. Do you have a family?
A brother. He's all that's left. It was the war, Mrs. Stoner. The war took our family. Almost took me, but I'm a pretty fast runner. Good night.
Good night.
I didn't know him, but I'm sorry about your husband, Mrs. Stoner. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Gonna be a big day tomorrow, Roscoe. Better get some sleep.
In front of a mirror in her room, Maria brushes her hair, then looks at her wedding ring before a knock on her door. It's the sheriff.
Miss Stoner. Maria.
Yes?
Do you mind if I come in for a minute?
Well, I would prefer you didn't.
I won't take but a minute, ma'am.
What is it, Sheriff?
My friends call me July, ma'am. I wish you were one. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, ma'am. I'll be your friend, and you just don't bother about being mine. The reason I come up here tonight was to see if there was anything I could do for you. Anything at all.
No, there's nothing. I'm going home tomorrow.
Oh. I see. Well, it still goes. Anytime.
July. Thank you.
Next day, the hangman arrives with ropes.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'll see you, Trevor.
They got it working fine, hangman. Now it's up to you.
A man that's been hung by Aussie Grimes stays hung.
He lays out the ropes on the gallows as crowds gather to get the best views. In the cells, the old man is getting anxious.
Bishop, it appears to me I have misjudged you. The town's filling up and you ain't even made a move yet.
Well, it appears to me I've misjudged you too, Pop. You're scared.
It's my boy I'm thinking of. He ain't even full grown yet.
I'm scared, Dee. And I ain't ashamed of it.
Babe, when the time comes, whatever we have to do, we better be quick about it. You too, Robbie. When we have to move, move.
Right, laddie.
I'm sorry, come back here.
We're going.
Yeah,
get
well,
to town
hey,
once
check
a
your
week.
Guns in over there. Sorry, Parks.
All we can do is do what
hey,
it's that way.
Put the rifles over there, gentlemen. Just put your rifle in that pack.
I'll tell you what, just don't lose my gun.
We ask you not to worm the town the first place.
Court, the holster, too.
The bars are closed and guns collected. Maria leaves town in her wagon loaded with provisions. She nods to the hangman, who touches his hat.
It's about that time, ain't it?
Yeah, just about. Run them out.
Rifles ready, the deputy goes to collect the outlaws as the hangman stands waiting beside the prepared nooses. Slowly, they file out of the jailhouse.
I clear a path down there.
Hold it right there.
They stop, and the sheriff walks up the gallows stairs.
All right, come up the steps one at a time. You first, Bishop. Move down the line and then turn around.
D. Bishop is first in place. He looks at the hangman, who unseen reveals to him a gun in his waistband as he adjusts his jacket. One by one, they line up until all are in place.
Aren't you going to tie their hands?
First things first, Sheriff.
He places the first noose over the youngest outlaw's head, pulls it neck tight, and lays the knot on his shoulder. Next the father, who spits on his hands, then smooths his hair back.
Be a long time before the likes of them ride into Val Verde again.
He continues along the line, tapping the knot as he stands directly in front of each man. Finally, it's D. Bishop's turn. As he steps away from him, he adjusts his jacket again, revealing that the gun in his waistband has gone. As the sheriff checks the men, D. pulls out the gun and holds it to the sheriff's head.
Sheriff, now you be good and I won't kill you. Tell your deputy to drop it. Tell him!
I do it, Roscoe.
Move it.
I knew you'd do it, Lenny.
Who are you gonna hang now?
The youngster punches the hangman.
Hold it right there. All right, break it up. Break the crowd up.
All right, get back there. Come on, come on. Come on, get back there. Get back!
They have the only guns now as they move through the crowd.
Bring that wagon up here.
Come on, get out of it. Come!
Right. Keep them covered, take what you need, and get rid of the rest of them guns.
Think you'll get far, Bishop?
Not as far as you were going to send me.
Having locked up the sheriff, D tosses the jail's keys into the iron stove, then takes a gun belt and revolver. He hears a shot. It's the wagons with all the guns being driven away by a riderless, startled horse. They mount horses and race out of town. Still clutching his stomach, the hangman watches from the gallows. The deputy sprints into the jail, sees the keys are gone, so shoots off the lock on the cell holding the sheriff.
Headed southwest.
They arm themselves as the weapons wagon is retrieved, and men on horseback gather to regain their guns in a frenzy of activity.
So if you're going with me, be ready. When we come on them, shoot to kill.
They start the chase after the outlaws in a cloud of dust from thundering hooves. The hangman stands alone on the gallows in the now near deserted street. Slowly he climbs down and crosses the street. He gingerly mounts his horse and sets off gently. Thank you. Out of town, the chase goes on. As he passes the bank, he stops as a thought occurs to him. He looks around at the deserted scene and goes into the bank, carrying a rifle and saddlebags.
Been one of your good days, has it, sir?
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that.
Can I help you?
Yes. Yes, I'd appreciate it very much if you'd fill these up with money.
But you're the hangman, sir.
No, you see, you're wrong about that, too. And I don't really feel I have time to explain it all to you, so just do as I say, and you'll stay healthy, and everything will be all right. Just fill them up.
The teller takes the saddlebags as the hangman follows him to the vault. He opens a small cupboard door, and as the teller reappears, he gestures him towards the cupboard.
Get in there.
He jams the door closed with a chair. As he leaves, he collects a closed sign, which he hangs on the outer door handles. He sheaths his rifle and secures the saddlebags to his horse as a man in an apron carrying two dead chickens looks at him.
It's a tough world, isn't it?
He trots out of town. Meanwhile, out on the trail, the prisoners come across the wagon carrying Maria and her provisions, driven by one of her ranch hands.
We ain't got no time. You ain't planning to waste none of it around here, are you?
But if you want to cross that border with no grub, you go right ahead, Pop, and take the kid with you.
They ride down the hillside in pursuit of the wagon, whose occupants are startled by them. The ranch hand draws his gun, but is shot by Pops as the wagon is halted.
Hurry up, take as much as you can.
You didn't have to do this.
I didn't do it, he did it. If he hadn't done it, I'd have done it.
They loot the wagon.
Dee! Robbie, take her to cover.
The posse are closing.
Leave me alone.
Robbie throws Maria over his shoulder, and they all take cover behind the boulders, fringing the track. As the posse arrive, they fire into the crowd of men and horses, causing disarray amongst them. They dismount and take shelter where they can. The fighting is fierce, and members of the posse are picked off as they try to outflank the outlaws. Dee's gun is out of bullets, and Maria tries to break free, but he pulls her back.
I got that schooner woman! I almost shot her!
Yeah, I know. Here's the word, Roscoe. God help the man that hurts her.
Right.
How does a man become an animal like you?
Don't shoot the stoner woman. Don't shoot the stoner woman.
You gonna let her stop you? You can't ask me
for anything. I haven't asked anything, Carter.
Suddenly, from a ridge above the posse, a rifleman begins to shoot at them.
Who in hell's that?
The posse return fire at the man, who is shown to be the bogus hangman. They're pinned down by his intrusion. Dee sees his chance to escape. They remount and ride away, taking Maria with them. The hangman smiles.
Johnson, they're getting away!
Todd, don't you think I know that? Don't you by damn think I know that?
On the ridge, the hangman mounts up and makes his escape too.
Go track them. Track them as far as the border. Wait for me there. I'll be all along.
Yes, sir.
Come. The deputy sets off alone to track the outlaws.
I want 10 volunteers. 10 good horses, 10 good guns. No clerks, no storekeepers. We'll outfit at the Stoner Ranch. The rest of you take care of the wounded. Go on back to town.
You going across the border?
That's right.
After them or after her?
A lone rider arrives.
Hey, Sheriff! He robbed the bank! Who did? The hangman!
A look of realization crosses the sheriff's face. From high on a ridge, the deputy watches as the outlaws in a wide valley cross a shallow, slow-flowing river. On the other side, they ride up a low riverbank, over parched mud and sparse vegetation. Beyond them lies desert and bare mountains. Nighttime now, coffee's brewed, and a rabbit carcass is roasted over a fire.
Mrs. Stoner, you're going to be with us until we don't need you no longer. Then you can go on home.
She ignores him and the proffered coffee.
Hmm? Have you no plan, laddie?
My plan is to stay away from a rope.
that's a dandy one, that is. Indeed it is.
She sure is pretty.
She's not pretty. She's beautiful. Beautiful is something real fine. Something you can't never have, no matter how bad you want it.
Looks to me like we got her.
You ain't got nothing, kid. Forget it.
I don't mean nothing.
That's right. You don't mean nothing.
They all prick up their ears and listen.
Shh! Listen!
D continues to eat his rabbit as a dark figure rides up the narrow pass in front of them.
D, you can't plumb loco?
Get down, Maze. Help yourself. It ain't much. It's just like a woman I once had back in Kentucky. Warm and free.
It's the hangman. Hey, what's he doing here?
That ain't no hangman, Pop. That's nobody but my brother.
Your brother?
Maze, this is Pop Cheney. That's his young fine son back there who's studying for the ministry. And Babe Jenkins, Robbie O'Hare.
Hey.
Mrs. Stoner.
You all right, Miss Stoner?
Hey, you!
Pop.
Apologize for what happened to you, Miss Stoner. You can go home in the morning.
Mrs. Stoner goes home when I say she goes home. And she ain't going home in the morning, Mace. When I ain't got no blood in the eye posse running up my backside, then she can do what she wants. Till then, she stays.
So you never harmed a woman or a child, huh?
She's harmed. She ain't harmed.
You sure put her in a good position. I'd like to have my gun back, Dee.
Robbie? Still picking up after your brother. Mom would be proud of that. Seen Mom lately?
Not since the funeral.
Was dead.
Buried her 6 weeks to the day after Appomattox. It was raining.
She didn't suffer.
Only in her mind.
Because of me, you mean?
Well, you're the one that said that.
I killed her. That's what you mean.
You never did her any good, D. That's what I mean. The day she found you joined Quantrill, she started going downhill for the last time. And when you fellas burnt Lawrence, Kansas, after that she never spoke another word. She just sat by the fire and didn't say anything.
Hey, Robbie, here's a mama for you. One boy goes with Quantrill, the other goes with Sherman. One helps burn down a town, the other helps burn down a state. And the one that burned down the town is the one that done in his mama.
Sherman was war, D. Quantrill was meanness. Well, what about this big sheriff and his bunch? Well, you think he's going to cross the border?
South Texas sheriff who once rode with Nathan Bedford Forrest. A man who was made a fool of in his own town. He'll cross it.
Sure enough, the posse in the early morning light splashed through the river at a gallop. High on a rock-strewn, barren plateau, Dee leads the way south. They stop at a small dirty pool of water, fringed by sun-bleached animal bones. Dee dismounts and looks at the bare stone mountains in front of them.
If there's something you know that we don't, I think you better tell us what it is. You're with us. Whatever happens to us,
happens to you. Maybe even more so.
The country we have been through between here and the Rio Grande is patrolled by the Federales. From here south is the Territorio Bandolero.
What's that, Territorio Bandolero?
Bandit country. They kill every gringo they can find.
You don't look too worried.
I am not a gringo.
Well, there's a town called Sabinas just south of here.
It is a 3-day ride.
We'll be safe there. I don't think the sheriff will follow us that deep in.
He will follow.
What makes you so certain?
Because you have something he has wanted for a long time.
What's that?
Me.
They ride on. The posse canter down a pass, and the deputy dismounts to check the blackened remains of a fire.
Four, maybe 5 hours.
A night camp again, and Maria talks to Mays.
This is the first time I have been in my country since I left. I always knew I would come back again, but not quite this way.
How'd you come to marry your husband, Miss Stoner?
He bought me, Mr. Bishop. He found me in the back room of a cantina. He liked me. And he bought me. He gave my father 5 cows and a gun. It made my father the richest man in our village.
Did you ever come to love him?
No. But he was kind to me. He was considerate. And he took me from something I never felt a part of. He gave me a home. Now, here I am.
Well, from the looks of you, Miss Stoner, you have a long way yet to go. Want some coffee?
No.
Excuse me.
Mace wanders back to the others around the campfire. He pours a coffee, and Pop extends his empty mug for a refill, a challenging look on his face. Mace ignores him and carries on. Dee follows his brother.
Mace, if you're ever alone with Pop and his little boy, don't you turn your back on him.
I know. I can't decide which of us they hate the most.
Oh, it's you.
I think you're right.
Mace, I ain't had a chance to tell you, but it sure was real good to see you again. And, you know, sometimes I think back to how it used to be with you and me. You remember when...
That was yesterday. Now, let's talk about today.
All right. What about today?
Now, why do you ride with men like these?
Oh, I don't know. I just got used to it, I guess, through the years. You know, you begin to go one way, keep on going that way, and pretty soon there's no other way.
You really believe that?
No, I guess not.
Maria goes to the fire for warmth.
You sure are pretty.
Pretty. Pretty woman ain't good for nothing but smelling sweet, laying around the house.
Just so pretty.
Is it after a little kiss you are, babe? Oh, he's a great kisser, ma'am. He's the
best damn lady kisser in the whole of Texas.
Leave the woman alone.
Oh, hell, he wouldn't harm a hair in her head, laddie.
She's a lady. Treat her like one.
Dee goes for a blanket, and Mace gives her a reassuring wink.
Time you got some sleep.
Next morning, the posse lead their horses up a steep, scree-covered escarpment and onto a plateau.
How far are we going, July? I mean, are we just gonna keep following them till we come up on them, or what? No matter how far they go?
That's right.
Suppose they just keep going on forever.
And we'll just keep going on forever.
What if we lose them?
There's only a couple of places they could be headed. There's only a couple of places with water. I won't lose them. I'll find them, or I'll find their bones, but I won't lose them.
They saddle up and continue across the bleak terrain. Ahead of them, worse for wear under the blazing sun, the outlaws look anxious and tired as they perspire profusely.
Hold up, July!
This don't make sense no more, July.
What don't make sense, Hawkins?
We've come too far already. Ain't no telling where we'll end up. Dead, most likely, if we keep going.
You want to turn back?
Wanting ain't part of it. I'm turning back. Anybody going with me? Ain't nobody coming with me?
Maybe he's right, Johnson.
It don't make no sense no more. I mean, it just don't make sense.
Goodbye, Ross. Hawkins.
The posse, minus two, continues.
You coming with us?
It's not the Bishop gang he's after now. It's the Stoner woman, just like Carter said.
From out of nowhere, a Mexican bandit jumps down onto one of the two men left behind. The other tries to escape, but is knocked from his horse by a second bandit. Behind them, a horde of bandoleros sweep down a sandy slope. Their throats are cut and belongings and clothes stripped away. The bandit leader, an evil-looking mustachioed ruffian in a wide-brimmed sombrero, cartridge belts across his chest, looks on. Further ahead, the outlaws walk their horses.
Hey, wait up there. Wait for me. What are you hurrying so for? That sheriff can't go any faster than we can.
You giving out, pup?
Oh, it's just that I don't see no sense in hurrying, that's all.
So the old bastard, though, is not as tough as he smells.
As the wind rises, Dee helps Maria to remount her horse as Mace watches the reactions of the group.
How can two brothers be so different?
Oh, Mace? Oh, he believes in the goodness of his fellow man. He's never seen it, you understand, but he believes it. I've never seen it either. I don't believe it.
What do you believe in?
I believe in myself.
You fool nobody but yourself. And I don't believe you even do that. You really think you had a hard life, don't you, D. Bishop?
You don't understand.
No?
What would you know about having to scrape for a living? I could tell you a lot of things about the hard life, but you'd have to live the hard life to understand it.
Yes, I believe that.
They ride on in a cloud of dust. Behind them, the posse is being watched from a rocky outcrop by the Mexican bandits. They trot single file down a steep-sided, narrow gorge. Is taken out by a bandit who jumps from the rocks above and hacks him to death. Now it's the unwitting new Back Marker's turn as a large blade is thrust into his stomach.
To go no further. This is it. We're turning back.
All of you?
All of us. You just ain't gonna find them.
I'll find them.
Do you know how big this country is? Why, it just swallowed them up. For all we know,
now,
they
who's
could
messing?
Be...
We came into that pass with 10 men. I count 8 of us now.
Clyde Anderson ain't with us, July. Wade Phillips is missing, too. July.
In the sky, they see circling vultures.
All right, Court, you and the men can ride back home if you want to. Of course, that's the only way, unless you want to ride 50 miles around. All right, then. You stay here till we get back.
The sheriff and deputy ride back to see what's become of the missing men. But they find the naked, mutilated body of one of the men.
Stay where you are. You wouldn't recognize him anyway. Reckon the other one's around here somewhere.
The Indians, July?
No. Bandits. If you want to ride for home, you leave right now from here, Roscoe. Now, I'll understand. I'll tell the others I sent you home to report.
I'll stay with you, July.
Now, you don't have to. I just want you to know that.
No, I'll stick. And if anybody ever says to me, did you ride all over Mexico with July Johnson? I can say to him, yep. I rode all over Mexico with July Johnson.
You're a good boy. Always said it.
They remount and ride back to the rest of the posse. Beside the ruins of an old house, the outlaws eat supper round the campfire.
You stop picking your nose, boy. It ain't mannerly.
You had no call to do that.
Now, none of your lip.
Hey, raising up your boy to be a good Christian, I see, Mr. Cheney.
Well, I'm learning him what my pa learned me. The Almighty rest his damn bones. You see things a man ought never do. Spit in church, scratch himself in front of his ma. Pick his nose. Yes, sir. That's what my pa learned me, and it stood me in good stead.
I don't imagine your pa ever mentioned shooting people and burning their house down, stealing, things like that.
I'm talking about mannerly things, Mr. Bishop. I ain't talking about making a living.
Oh.
Mace spots banknotes protruding from his saddlebag and pulls his saddle from behind Pop.
What the hell, Bishop?
You're leaning on my saddle, Mr. Cheney. You lean on your own saddle.
Hey, babe, get out there and see if anything's moving.
Day.
Something wrong?
Things have been wrong a long time, Dee. Don't you think it's about time we have a talk?
Well, I'll tell you the truth.
Liars always start that way.
No, Mace, I'll tell you the truth. I can't remember back to a single instance where talking has ever gotten me any place. But you go right ahead. You tell me what you want to talk about, and I'll tell you if I want to join you.
All right. I want to talk about us having a place of our own ranch. How's that sound to you?
No, whether a rooster without a hen.
How come? Seems to me I can remember back to a time you wanted a place of your own awful bad.
Well, that was before the war. We were younger then.
Oh, well, not that much younger.
Well, young enough to think about a good woman. You know how long it's been since I've been with a woman I could respect? I may not be good, Mace, but I sure do know what good's supposed to be. We were young enough back in those days to think about children and grandchildren.
Oh, come on. No, you're not telling me you're too old to be a father.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you reach a time when you know all them things are lost to you.
They're not lost to you, Dee. They're not lost. You may have thrown some of them away. They're not lost to you.
Dee looks downcast. By the fire, Maria sleeps. A hand and arm extends over her, and Babe Jenkins' face moves closer to her cheek to kiss her. He strokes her hair.
Get up, babe.
Honest, Dee, I wasn't gonna do nothing but kiss her. What's wrong with a little old kiss? Nothing wrong with a little old kiss, Dee. Little old kiss never hurt nobody.
Dee knocks Babe to the floor, helps Maria up, and leads her away. The others settle back down.
Gonna be close together whether you like it or not.
Mace offers Jenkins water, but he slumps face down, unconscious. Mace drinks instead and pulls up his blanket.
I can't stand the thought of something like him with his hands on something like you.
I thought he was your friend.
He is, but that don't make him any less disgusting. As a matter of fact, all my friends are disgusting. Now you take Pop, for instance. He was due to be shot the day he was born. And that heart of his, that's nothing but a festering sore. And his kid, he's something, ain't he?
If you feel that way about them, why are you with him?
I know where they stand. And I know where respectable people stood.
Maybe they don't know themselves.
You say the sheriff's always wanted you?
He is a good man.
I reckon he's got you all to himself now.
He's a good man, but I feel nothing for him. Why do you laugh?
I was just thinking we'd make a perfect pair, you and me. I'm broke without a woman, and you're rich and without a man.
The posse on foot under the full glare of the scorching Mexican sun. The outlaws look down at a small settlement set in the middle of a sun-seared desert landscape.
This ain't Sabina's, is it, laddie?
Is this what you brung us to?
Disheartened, they push on. They enter what's left of the devastated, derelict and deserted town. Crude wooden ladders stand forlorn against part-demolished walls.
This is the town.
Why, the ghost!
Looks that way, Mace. Sure does look that way.
Through here lately, Dave. Maybe not more than a day or so. Most get barefoot.
Well, this is your country, Miss Stoner. What do you think happened to these people?
Bandoleros. They demand too much of the people. When they grow tired of being raided, they leave, as they have done here.
What, you mean to say a whole town just packs up and leaves and never comes back?
Well, sometimes they go to a larger town, where they can be protected by the soldiers of Benito Juarez.
Mace, we'll put up over that canteen. That's the best place around.
Dee assists Maria down from her horse, a chemistry developing between them. The rest tether their horses and go to the old cantina. Mace watches warily as he relieves his horse of the saddlebags containing the money. A wad of notes slips out as he shoulders the bags. Quickly he stands on it, then kicks it towards a wall as Pops and his son lead their horses past. He sees a building with a pulley stanchion high on its side wall. He throws up the saddlebags, which fortunately catch and hang there first time. He joins the others in the cantina, a relieved look on his face. It's night now, and Babe stands guard outside whilst May stokes the fire.
What do you plan on doing now, Dave?
We'll just rest up here a few days. Right on to Hidalgo for supplies, then push on to Matamoros. I got friends in Matamoros.
Well, what about Mrs. Stoner?
Mace, you think we could make a go of it in Montana?
Dee, there's a town up there called Missoula. Prettiest little place you ever saw.
What about the Indians?
And the Rockies. They're snow-capped. And the slopes are forested, and there are lots of lakes
and valleys. Well, what about the Indians?
And there's deer in Montana, Dee, and antelope, and elk,
Mace,
and black bear.
What about the Indians?
And what Indians?
Ain't there no Indians in Montana?
Well, they few.
Ain't the Northern Cheyenne in Montana?
Northern Cheyenne. I wouldn't lie to you.
The Crow and the Sioux.
Well, they're around.
What else, Mace?
Listen, Dee.
What else?
Well, they Blackfeet and Chippewa. And
some Cree?
Yes, there are Cree in Montana.
And the Shoshone and the Kootenai and the Stoney.
Just what are you trying to say?
Trying to say there's a lot of goddamn Indians in Montana, Mace.
Oh, you're impossible to talk to.
Oh, wait a minute. Will you sit down, Mace? I'm tired, Mace. Bone tired. I can't even remember what it feels like to get up in the morning feeling rested and clean, having a good breakfast. I can't even remember what it feels like to slip down in between some cool, clean sheets. Mace, we'll need money. Have you thought about that?
I think I know where I can get my hands on some.
Ah, your brother won't never make it. There's only one way for him. For me. For any of us.
What way is that, Mr. Cheney?
This way. The way we know. The way we growed.
Well, now, that may be so for you, but for my brother, it's different.
I don't care if he is your brother, the son of a bitch.
Mace kicks his chair from under him and draws his gun.
Now, before you apologize, I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Cheney. My brother and I are the sons of an honest dirt farmer. A man who slaved all his life from sun up to sundown and never took time except to deliver his own children and go to meeting on Sunday. A man who died of old age at 45 and who never saw more than $10 at one time in his whole life. And we're the sons of a woman that married him for his goodness, because she was good. And now you can apologize for slandering my family, Mr. Cheney. I'll blow your head off.
Ah, you ain't no killer. You ain't got the stomach for it.
Apologize!
I'm sorry, Mr. Bishop. It means no harm.
I'm going outside, D. I'd appreciate if you see I don't get shot in the back.
Mace goes outside as Babe Jenkins passes him at the door. The sheriff and deputy sit by a small fire.
July? What if she won't have you?
Why shouldn't she have me?
Well, I don't know. Just... she might not want you.
You trying to tell me something, Roscoe?
No, July, it's just... well, because you want her doesn't mean that she's got to want you right back. Does it?
Talk about it.
Why?
What?
Why don't you want to talk about it, July?
Roscoe, I just don't. Now, Roscoe, you've been a good boy all of these years. Now, don't spoil it.
Who's standing guard?
Jeters.
Well, I reckon I'll go spell him.
Roscoe walks off. At the cantina, Dee sits in front of the fire, then moves to gently pull Maria's blanket up over her shoulder. He lies down beside her, placing a protective hand on her arm. Maria's eyes open, and she looks quite content. Next morning.
Well, there's another one who'll never make it to Matamoros.
How many does that make?
Three. Looks to me like we'll be mostly walking when we... leave.
They see Maria.
You two have gotten pretty close, haven't you?
Nothing's been said.
Well, nothing has to be said.
It's just a feeling, Mace. You know, just a feeling.
But what?
I don't know. She has the same feeling.
Have you thought about asking her?
Asking?
Dee, I know you don't believe in talking. And you've said that talking never got you anywhere. But how in the world are you ever going to find out anything from anybody if you don't talk?
Dee walks hesitantly across to where Maria is washing out mugs.
There will be coffee soon.
I want to ask you something.
Yes?
I know I've done you real wrong. And even if I wanted, it's kind of late for apologizing. I know there's no reason in this whole world why you wouldn't like to step on something like me. But do you think you could ever take to a man who dragged you from your home and done you the way I'd done you?
Their eyes meet, and she stretches out her arms and hugs him. He has his answer. She runs back inside as Mace approaches.
Well, I'll be damned.
What'd she say?
Nothing.
Oh, well, you two are going to be very happy.
Hey, Mace, what does she mean by that? She just looked at me, hugged me. She didn't say nothing.
Oh, boy. Oh, you're a sorry... Dee, you're so dumb.
I am?
Yes, you are.
Oh, well, how would you like a knock right in your teeth, Mace?
No, listen to me, Dee. Do you want to go up to Montana with me or don't you? Do you want to help me build our spread up there or don't you?
I reckon, yeah.
And the children, what about them?
What children?
Children of your own, the ones you used to want. What about them? And what about her? Do you want her to go with you to Montana?
Be right nice, yeah.
Well, then go and tell her.
You're right. That's right, Mays. Now, what did I think of that?
He goes inside.
Bishop, close the door.
Roscoe holds a gun to his head. Outside, Mace glances up at the saddlebags. Then he, too, enters to the deputy's welcome.
Come on in.
I tell him it's over, Roscoe.
Roscoe walks out to whistle up the rest of the posse.
Just so we understand one another, you make one move that don't set right with me and I'll kill you. Now, what's your real name?
Mace Bishop.
Bishop. You're brothers. You hear that, Roscoe? They're brothers. All right, brothers. Where'd you hide the bank money?
What bank money?
Always gonna be that way, is it? The $10,000 your brother there took out of the Val Verde Bank! $10,000 that he helped himself to when the rest of you lit out. That's what bank money.
You robbed a bank? You, Mace?
Dee, the bank was there, and I was there, and there wasn't very much of anybody else there, and it just seemed like the thing to do. You know, it's not like you, something you never heard of. I mean, a lot of people rob banks for all sorts of different reasons.
You just walked into a bank and helped yourself to $10,000 because it seemed like the thing to do?
That's about the way it was, yeah. As well as I can remember, yeah.
I don't know what to say to you, Mace.
Well, just don't say anything, Dee. Just don't say a word.
Why, you old bastard. Now I know what you meant when you said I might be able to get my hands on some money. You planned on us... We were going to start our new spread on stolen money?
Just a thought, Dee. Just thought.
Well, I'm sure glad Mama ain't around to hear all this.
Well, I sure wish Papa was around to hear all this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see $10,000 in Papa's hands? $10,000 in the hands of a man that didn't know there was that much money in the whole world.
I think I'm gonna be sick to my stomach. Now, tie him up. Tie them all up.
Maria looks on at proceedings, a quizzical look on her face. It's nightfall, and Roscoe keeps watch as the sheriff approaches the cantina.
We're going home in the morning, maybe July.
July ignores him and goes inside.
I sure hope so.
The outlaws sit in a line, all tied up, and Maria is in front of the fire.
I've found a place for you to sleep tonight, ma'am.
I don't mind sleeping here.
Oh, yes, ma'am, but I don't think you should. It just don't seem right somehow.
She's hesitant and exchanges glances with Dee before July leads her out.
No need to worry. There'll be somebody on guard all night long. Now, this isn't much, but it's the best I could find. You'll be safe here.
I was not worried about my safety.
You don't have to be with them bishops now.
You know, I like them.
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
I said, I like them. Both of them.
I'd like to talk to you about something, Maria.
You have ridden a long way for nothing, July, if you have come for me.
Look, I'm stable.
I know.
And I'm reliable.
I know, July, but don't you understand?
Oh, Roscoe told me that just because I like you, you don't have to like me back, and that's the truth, but... What are you looking for, ma'am?
Nothing. I have found it.
July looks deflated. Morning, and July prepares for departure.
You men, pack all the water we can tote. Throw away everything we don't need. All right, I'm going to ask you again. And I want to hear nothing about your mama. I want to hear nothing about how disappointed you are in each other. I don't want to hear nothing about how the Lord's going to forgive you for sinking so low. Where did you hide the money? You know... It'd go a lot easier on you if you told me where it was hid.
What about my brother?
Money or no money, your brother's gonna hang.
Your kind don't live long in prison, Mace. Why'd you tell him where it is? Go on, give it to him.
Well, Sheriff, I figure if I ever want money bad enough again, I can always rob another bank. I never knew it was so easy. Come on, help me up.
Don't do it, Bishop. We'll get you out of this.
Now, you ain't getting out of nothing, Chaney, so shut your mouth.
It's a long way to the border, Sheriff, and I'm going to take special pleasure in cutting your...
Tough world, isn't it, Mr. Chaney? There it is. Rusting like a baby.
Is that really the best you could hide it?
Go tell July we're ready.
Roscoe carries a large animal skin water container as he is shot.
July?
Hordes of Mexican bandits charge in, guns blazing. The posse fire back, but some don't make cover and are shot. Maria manages to shut the doors of the building she has slept in.
I'm tired! Get back on the floor! Come on, Sheriff, untie us and give us guns. You'll never hold off that many!
The outlaws are cut loose and pick up guns to fight off the marauding band of Mexican bandits. The odds are slightly better now, and many bandits are shot. Still, they ride back and forth past the cantina, trying to kill the occupants. Although many are killed in a frenzied scene of rearing horses, falling riders, and disorganized mayhem, even more seem to appear. One clambers onto the roof of the cantina. Some inside the cantina leave its shelter to venture outside and kill more bandits, but they are soon cut down by bandit fire. Pops, in an exposed window, takes a bullet to the chest, and in a moment of desperation, runs out to get the saddlebags. Climbs onto a roof, and as he stretches for the bags, is shot again. His son races out to help him, but is quickly wounded. He then crawls to reach his father as horses crash around him. Before he can reach his father, he's shot again in the back. Maria screams and flinches as shots pierce the wooden doors of her shelter. The bandit leader hears her screams and looks around. So does Dee, who breaks out of the cantina, rolls and shoots two advancing Mexican riders. Maria gasps as the bandit leader bursts in.
Pelado! Desgraciado! Vata aquí! Cochino!
He grabs at her and rips off the back of her shirt as she tries to avoid him. He overpowers her and forces her onto the bed, pulling up her skirt as she struggles. She grabs his hair and pulls it. They both roll off the bed onto the floor. A gloved hand pulls him up by the hair, and Dee repeatedly punches him in the face. He holds a gun, but Dee's booted foot forces his hand against the wall. Another bandit bursts in the front door, but Dee shoots him as Maria is forced back by the force of his entrance. The leader dives at Dee, and they both fall out into the street. Mace sees them and shoots another bandit who is heading for Dee. Dee and the bandit leader brawl across the street as Maria watches helplessly. Suddenly, having been forced up against a wall, the bandit leader pulls a knife and thrusts it into Dee's stomach. He falls to the floor as Maria watches aghast. Mace sees what's happening and rushes out to help Dee, but is shot in the chest. Maria picks up a fallen gun and repeatedly shoots the bandit leader. His men see he's been killed. Panicked, they wheel round their horses and gallop away as Maria runs to Dee.
My God!
She cradles his head as May staggers across to them, and the sheriff emerges from the cantina to survey the scene of carnage before him. Maria sobs, and Dee speaks to her.
When you hug me, did that mean yes or no?
It meant yes.
You really would have been my woman? My wife, I mean. You'd have gone to Montana with us. Did you hear that, Mace? You here, Mace?
I'm here, Dee.
Babe was right. That little kiss never hurt nobody.
His eyes close and he's gone. Mace sighs and Maria realizes he's dead. July looks down in anguish at Roscoe's body, water still trickling from the skin bag he held.
Did you mean what you said to my brother?
For the first time in my life.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm awful glad. Because, you see, Dee always wanted to believe. He always wanted the right things. But there was just something in him. It was always hard for Dee to see the light at the end of the trail.
Maria's head falls to Dee's chest, and the saddlebags fall to the floor in some kind of situational symbolism. Mace wipes a tear of grief from his face.
It almost worked.
He slowly shuffles over to the saddlebags and picks them up. He clutches his chest as he staggers towards July and hands them over to him. Takes two more steps, then collapses, first to his knees, and then face down in the dust. July holsters his gun, walks to Mace and touches his shoulder. A piebald horse stands waiting as Maria tends two rocky graves with wooden crosses, and July finishes placing a cross over one of the seven graves of his colleagues. The cross reads, "Roscoe Bookbinder, a fine boy." He smiles and winks. He mounts his dappled grey horse and trots over to Maria, who has now got onto her horse.
No one will even know who lies here.
Does it matter?
Perhaps not.
They slowly turn and canter away, followed by the two remaining members of the posse. The end.